Blog Talk Radio.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power, wonder working power, in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, oh, wonder working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power, in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power. So much power.
praise. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, it will never lose its power. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your mercy, Jesus. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. That will never lose its power. Thank you for the shed of the blood. It will never lose. It will never lose.
Good morning and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad you have stopped by the show today. We have an exciting topic today that everyone can participate in today. So today, before I get started with the prayer for anyone, you need to call and tell them to tune into this broadcast today. And the number is area code 646. 716-4389. That number again is 646-716-4389. And if you like this show and even this particular broadcast, please send a little thing to the station letting them know that you enjoyed it, that this was a popular show that you enjoyed, and the program and the topic. And so let us get off in prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we come this morning just to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for what you have done already. We give you the praise. We give you the honor, dear Heavenly Father, because it's all about you. It's not about us. We thank you for the program today, dear Heavenly Father, that be what you would have it to be, not what Overseer would have it to be, but what you would have it to be, dear Heavenly Father. We give you the praise. We give you the thanks right now. For every person that's listening or will listen later in the archive to this particular statement, dear Heavenly Father, let it be something that's said, dear Heavenly Father, that will enrich their lives ever the more, dear Heavenly Father, in the blessed name of Jesus. We pray, amen, and thank God. Well, today, our title is The Poison in Your Mouth. I think I'll say that again. The poison in your mouth. And I'm going to be coming from James, James, the third chapter, and the eighth verse. And the word of God read as, but the tongue can no maintain. It is an unruly evil, comma, full of deadly poison, period. My. You know what, today? The deadly drug does not need to be taken in large doses. A drop or two will suffice, and the tongue does not need to distill long speeches. It has got to drop a word, and the mischief is set afoot. Thus has a peace between ruining, thus has a reputation of being blackened. Thus have a friendship been embittered. Thus have a mind been poisoned. Thus has a life been blasted with your mouth, with that little red membrane in your mouth. So deadly can the tongue be that Jesus issued one of the sternest warning in all of the New Testament concerning its use. I say to you that every careless word that men or women shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. And you'll find that in Matthew, the 12th chapter, in the 36th verse, and I'll turn right on over there to Matthew 12 and 36. And this is what the word of God says. But I say unto you, thou shalt every outer word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. My. You know, to think of all the things we said just yesterday that will be repeated before the judgment throne of God put real panic in many of our hearts. And well, it should. We're far too loose with our words. But what are some of those careless words that will one day come back to haunt us? Let's return to Proverbs an uncomfortable look at the wrong ways we wag our tongue. Turn your Bibles over to Proverbs, the 15th chapter. And when you get it, we're going to go to the second verse of Proverbs 15 and 2. And I'm turning my pages to 15 and 2 said a proverb, the tongue of the wise use knowledge, all right, but the mouth of fools pour out foolishness. My. You know, we're going to talk about the wrong use of the tongue. You know, we think about Solomon. We can take some punishment from him on some things he did and said. Praise God, praise God. And first we're going to start off with deceitful flattering. You know, a lying tongue hates those it crushes. A flattering mouth works ruin. You know, there are two different ways to define flattery. One is insincerity, complaintment, given to gain favor of. The second one is excessive, undue praise. Either way, Solomon warned us not to use it or be used by it. You know, he who hates disguised it with his lips, but he lays up doors in this house. When he speak graciously, do not believe him. Our speech is to be marked by sincerity and truth, not hypocritic and falsehood. You know, next we're going to come upon slander, tale-bearing, gossiping, all with that little membrane that's in your mouth today. You know, another use of the tongue that concerns Solomon has to do with the malicious circulation of false or extravagant reports about another person. Remember today, we are talking about the tongue, the poison that is in your tongue. Today, this right now, we're talking on slander, tale-bearing, and gossip. You know, he who spares slander or spreads slander is a fool. He who goes about as a tale-bearer will be a secret. But he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. My. As I was reading that, I say, Lord, look at here. You know, even revealing the truth at times can be nothing more than a sneaky way to slander someone else. Private conversations aired publicly can cause irresistible and irreplaceable damage to a person. Not everything we hear should be shared. Let me say that again. Not everything that we hear should be shared with someone else. One who repeats a matter, Solomon warns, separate intimate friends. You know, when you say things that someone have told you, keep it between you, them, Jesus, and you. But you spread it all around town. But aren't there times when information ought to be given that may not seem kind? And I'm going to say yes. For example, Jesus heeded rebuke of the Pharisees recorded in Matthew 23. You know, seven times he denounced the hypocrites of their puffed-up pity. It was a direct report done with the right motive, to correct wrong, not a case of malicious slander meant simply to hurt someone. You know, the topic of tale-bearing often raises another most difficult question. Are there times when confidential information ought to be shared? Again, the answer is yes. Not that it happened very often, mind you now, but there are times when it becomes legally or morally necessary to break a truce. I'm going to give you an example. Say a friend admits that he's involved in an adulterous relationship. What do you do? You know, according to Matthew's, the 18th chapter, let me turn on over there with you all that have your Bibles. And Matthew's, the 18th chapter, and verses 15 through 17 say, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his faults between thee and him alone. If he shall kneel that thou hast gained thy brother, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word be established." Okay, verse 17 says, "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." My. He should first be confronted privately. If that fail, then he's to be confronted by two or three witnesses. If that also fail, the whole church is to be told and disciplinary actions taken. You know, as I was reading that, I was called to go over to Timothy, 1 Timothy, and we're going to see what he was saying in the Word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. In 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, starting with the 19th verse. And the Word of God said, we're going to go to the 20th verse also. "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." And verse 20 says, "Then that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear." You know, other examples of when a truce shall be broken involve child abuse, are times when someone's life is in danger. That's when you open your mouth. You know it's being abused going on. You should open your mouth then. If you see that someone's life in danger, open your mouth then. You know, clearly in these type of cases, confidentiality must be broken in order to protect the innocent. You know, even so, only those who absolutely need to know should be told. Absolutely, that need to be known should be told. You know, more often than not, the difficulties we face is not with breaking confidentiality, but with keeping it. So how can we restrain our lips? Now, I'm asking you that question today. By forcing ourselves to answer these four exacting questions before we unleash our tongue. And I'm going to give you four things today. You know what you always say. Girl, is it true? If you can't check the soul, don't share it. If you can't go to the right source to get it, to the person that it happened to or said it, don't share it. The next one is it confidential? If so, then keep it under lock and key. If someone told you something in confidence, keep it under lock and key. Then you say, is it kind Will it build up another? If not, don't say it. Then you say, is it necessary? Does this other person need to know this? If it's what wouldn't make me any different, it usually is best left unsaid. You know, a lot of times we want to get into a conversation with people. We come in on the very end of it, in the middle of it. We don't even know what they're talking about. Just keep your mouth closed. Keep that little red membrane inside of your mouth with your lips buttoned up. Because all the time, it does not mean you need to give an answer for everything you hear. You don't need to be a gossiper, a slanderer, deceitful, tale-bearing. You know, we don't need to be doing that. That's what the Word of God says. Then we're going to come down to arguments, strife, and anger words. Has someone ever verbally give you a black eye? Was it a sarcastic sucker punch that got you? I thought so. We've all received some cheap shots like that. Solomon took his share of hits from hot temper, jabbering. He had this to say about them. A fool's lip brings strife, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his ruin. That little red membrane in your mouth, you got to be so careful of that tongue. And his lips are the snout of his soul. You find that in Proverbs 18:6-7. And we can turn right on over there. That way you can read it for yourself. Proverbs again, the 18th chapter. And the 6-7 verse. And the Word of God says, just what I had read, a fool's lips enter into contempt, and his mouth call for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snares of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the uttermost part of the belly. You know, listening to the Living Bible, precept of this same person. I went to the Living Bible. The fool gets into constant fights. His mouth is his undoing. His words endanger him. You know, a little later in verse 29 and 22, Solomon again described a brawler. An angry man, stride up stiff, stirred up. A hot temper man, abound in transgression. What do you do when you're thrown in the ring with such a person at work or at church or out in the community? The worst thing you can do is clench your tongue and start swearing. For a more powerful way to protect yourself, read the 17th chapter and the 14th verse. You know, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. You know, the old saying is, it takes two to fight. Well, the moment you sense that there is a conversation headed, walk away. Don't get into the ring. Refuse to mix it up by trading verbal punches. That means you end up in a situation somewhere where somebody's gossiping, tale bearing, saying stuff that they don't really know. They done got second, third, fourth, and fifth handed. Get up out of those situations. Just depart yourself gracefully. You know, do not associate with a man or woman given to anger. Or go with a hot temper man or woman, lest you learn his or her ways. Find a snare for yourself. When you meet someone who blasts out anger in a stream of molten words, keep going. Don't pursue a relationship with this kind of person, especially if you're single and this individual wants to go out with you? Can you imagine anything more foolisher or painful than a married, angry person constantly abusing you with hers, his, or her two-fisted words? My. We're going to go on down to boasting and foolish talking. You know, the fool feel compelled to comment on everything. You met some people that every time you say something, they got to comment. Her words flew in as an incessant cascade of bubbling, babbling, that signified nothing. Here she always jockeyed for the covered position of having the last word. You know some people like that. They want to have, I don't care what you're saying, what you're trying to tell them, they always want to have the last word. And the first, and most everything in between. My. The word of God say, be not, but not the wise. You won't hear her filling in the air with empty pattering. He has mastered the crucial skills found in the 17th chapter, 27 to the 28th verse. He that has knowledge spare his word, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that stuttereth his lips and shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. My. Ooh-wee. You know, he who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is counted prudent. You know, Solomon, despite the folly of those who restrain their words in several different ways, and I give some examples today. He who mocked the poet reproached his maker. He that rejoices at calamity will not go unpunished. You know, you'll find that in Proverbs 17 and 5 also. These days, many of the best-known comedians, male and female, constantly tell jokes about the misfortunate of others. They love to make us howl about adulterous poverty, murder, and perversion. And the truly sick part is we are laughing. You know, the second trait of the fool is impulsiveness. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him or her. You know, when somebody is given an answer or asking, let that person finish before you go to blah, 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 misses the chains of thought and just let you know how that red membrane in your mouth is not tame. Have you ever done this before? Somebody start to make a point, and before he or she can finish, you jumped in with both feet and started kicking and screaming to defend yourself. But when you finally quit fighting and listen to the rest of the story, you will realize all you've done is stick both feet in your mouth. You just stuck it in your mouth. Embarrassing, wasn't it? A third way we talk too much is with our boasting, like clouds and winds without rain. If a man who boasts of his gift falsely, the simplest way to avoid the mistake is to refrain from boasting altogether. Follow instead solemn advice. Let another one praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger and not your own lips. My. We're going to get down now to profanity and vulgarity. You know, today, the airwaves are polluted with profanity. television flaunts sexual immorality. In movies, Hollywood continue to assault us with nefarious penchants for pornography. Everywhere around us, we see and hear this kind of crude folly. But this isn't simply the world's problem and the world problem. Many Christians seem to have trouble breaking profound habits from their past. That means you got to break and change some things that's been in your life. So when you open your mouth, you can speak the word clearly and speak the word only. You know, for too many of us, crews curse and laugh at lowest jokes, making our witness perhaps the best joke of all. You all, we can't, we say it's sanctified full with the Holy Ghost. Some things you may laugh at, but some things, and some things you say you're not supposed to say. If we seen something comical, like on a, maybe a TV program, somebody standing up on their head and doing something else with their leg or something. But when it comes to the word of God and what he wants us to tell his people, we can't do all those things, you all. Perversion in the tongue. Solomon said, crush the spirit. Moreover, and I'm going to go to chapter 15, verse 4, if I'm not mistaken. The Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the days of evil. And, you know, maybe you grew up with a parent who cursed. Some of you all did that's listening to me today. Or perhaps you're working for someone now where those every other words is a mindless, obscene. Oh, you work around some people that's doing that. It wears you down. Doesn't it? I know it does. You just keep sick of less. I've seen it to earth. It wears you down. Deserve it. You just got sick of hearing the filth that stained your memory, leaving you feeling uncertainty. And that is so true. When you walk up to a person and they're steadily cursing, if you're not careful, that spirit will jump on you. So you got to distance yourself from that person. Separate yourself. Go into God in prayer for that person. You know, unfortunately, the kind of man whose teeth are like sword and his jaws teeth like knife is common in political sport, the military, among blue-collar workers. Business professionals, the entertainment industry, church slowly, and the softball league, and just about anywhere else you could name. My, today we're talking about that poison in your mouth. Other words, that red membrane that's in your mouth will cause people to be killed, and we don't need that, you all. We have to watch the words that we are saying. Because the words have power. And we some of that stuff, that junk we saying out of our mouth, we don't want that to come to pass. You know, to the wise person, cursing is neither attractive nor fitting. It is juvenile and ugly, a pit for base we express ourselves. We have a choice, remember? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Which are you wilding today? Are you using that tongue to speak blessings upon people's lives, or are you using it in a bad way? Today, every one of us should check ourselves, check our words that we are saying. Because God is not pleased. God has not slept since creation. And you know, as I read in Proverbs, the 6th chapter, let me turn over to here, the 16th through the 19th verse, and I'm going to read what thus saith the Lord. Proverbs 6, and Let me go back. I'm pulling up a little too much. Proverbs 16 to 19. And the word of God said, these six things does the Lord hate, yet seven are in abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devise wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischievous. My, 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 my. And you know, notice that out of the seven abominations of the Lord's hated, the tongue is mentioned three times, and twice specifically for lying. That was really, brothers, our Holy Father. So why doesn't air bother us as well? What are we so lax about telling the truth? Mama, 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 the whole truth is viewed with laughable contempt, and in many house, many circles, it became, we've forgotten what it meant to be holy, and we adopted the relative value of the world we live in. So we lie. We fail to keep our word. We extravagant. We try to cover up. But as Solomon warns us, and especially has all to painfully provide, you know, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. My, 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 my. You know, what could be more demanding to our witness as brethren of the truth went than your own? Think. Speak the truth. Practice it. Handle it accurately. Remember that your word is a reflection not only of your character, but also of God. You know, as I was going through these five things on flattery, slander, strife, boasting, profanity, lies, you know, as I was reading that, there is one central lineup of lawless victory. Take a good look at each other. Do not negotiate any of these rules in yourself. See if you can't identify the one verbally difficulty people are most likely to hear from your lips. If anybody would like to come in and share something with this topic today, all you have to do is press 1 on your keypad and I'll bring you in. You know, in a way, you'll just sign a confession. Not the law required that you should be read your rights and booked. You have the right and to remain silent. Anything you can say and will be used against you. But things Hallelujah. But this isn't a bus, so you needn't start worrying about bail. Besides, someone has already paid the wrongful use fine for your tongue long ago, so you are free to go. That someone, of course, is Jesus. 1 Corinthians, the 5th and the 21st verse. Take a moment to thank him. Then let confidence some specified step to keep you out of trouble with his particular use of his tongue. You know, the tongue have killed so many people on things that you're speaking out of your mouth that do not line up with the word of God. Amen, amen on that. Remember the four questions we recommended to interrogate your thoughts before they release? You say, is it true? Is it confidential? Is it real? Is it necessary? You know, I want you to think of the person or place that habitually tempt you to use your tongue in a way you confessed earlier. Got it. Now, what's your first thing you can do to break the cycle? So we have wondered. Not a repent. Am I? But no, it doesn't have anything to do with the question. Nor yet, I think back to what Solomon said in Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. And let me turn to that right quick and see, read it for you in case you don't have your Bibles there with you. Proverbs 22 and verses 21. Let me get my pages together. And we're going to go from Solomon 22, 24 to 25. I'm sorry when I say 21. And the word of God says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Number 25 say, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. 25, be not dismayed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, apply what you have read to your situation. Do you need to stop associating with someone who's a bad influence on you? Is there a particular place you should avoid going? That's the first step to consider. But let's say you can avoid a particular person or place. Maybe it's someone you work beside a carpool with out near 9. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just thinking you all about the tongue. How we can say things before we realize that may hurt somebody. How will you slander, gossip, you know, tear-bearing, lying? You know, we have to stop that, men and women of God. Are you willing to put forth that effort? I think you'll be ashamed at how much these questions can help and how quickly set aside a few minutes to take this matter before the Lord. Ask him for a sensitivity to know when to apply the criteria and how. Then in the spirit, you know, below, keep track over the next few days of the different words that you are saying out of your mouth. Write them down. And when you go to say something and you know it's not right, say, out. Say, God, control my mouth, control my tongue, control my lip, Lord, because I don't want to say something that would offend somebody, but I want to do it in the right way that you give me to do it. I don't want flesh to come in where I'm just blah, 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 blah. Nobody can get a word in. Angewise, are you not saying what really happened? You done got it third, fourth, fifth, and sixth hand, and you know when you passing a command or word down to somebody, if everybody is not there to get it when you say it, by the time you get it, it done went through, filtered through 10 people, and you really haven't got the truth saying or what the person was asking you. You know, to the wise, person cursing is neither attractive nor fitting. It is juvenile and ugly, a pitiful way to express ourselves. My. We have a charge, you all, today. Remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Remember that again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, the last words used of the tongue is found in Proverbs, the sixth chapter. I'm going to turn back over there to 16th. The 16th, verse 16 through 19. These six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that sheds innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. You know, notice that out of the seven abominations the Lord hates, the tongue is mentioned three times. And twice specifically for lying. That really bothers our Holy Father. So why doesn't it bother us as well? Why are we so lax about telling the truth? The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. You know, they say that in the Quran. Will you tell the truth? All the truth and nothing but the truth. So help you, God. You put your hand on that Bible. You raise the other hand. And you say, I do. Then you get up on that witness stand and lie from the front to the back. God is telling you right there, right here in his word. In his Bible. It's in your Bible if you ain't tore it out. You can read it for yourself. Why is it that today a Christian word is viewed with laughable contempt in many circles? It's because we have forgotten what it meant to be holy, and we have adopted the relative value of the world we live in. So we lie, we fail to keep our word, we exaggerate, we try to cover stuff up. But as Solomon warns us, and as experience has all too painfully proved, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. What could be more damning to our witness as bearer of the truth than our own lie? Speak the truth, you all. Practice it. Handle it accurately. Remember that your word is a reflection not only of your character, but also of God. You know, as I went over these different words today that I had pulled out of the dictionary and out of the Bible, flattery, slander, strife, bolstering, profanity, lies. This is one finished line up of lawless words. Take a good look at each one of these words I just give you. Do you recognize any of these roughly in yourself? See if you can identify the one verbal of offending people are most likely to hear from your lips. In a way, you just signed a confession. Now, the law required that you should be read your rights and book. That means when you go into jail, picking you up and whatever. You have the right to remain silent. That's what they tell you. Anything you say can and will be used against you. That's what they tell you. But this isn't a bus. So you needn't start worrying about bail. Besides, someone has already paid the wrongful use fine for your tongue long ago. So you're free to go. God has paid the price for us. But he don't want us to continue on sinning and doing the things that is not of God. You know, that someone, of course, is Jesus. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 21st verse. Take a moment to thank him, your heavenly Father, and then let's consider some specific steps to keep you out of trouble. with that particular use of the tongue. And I'm going to give you four things today to help you with your tongue today. Remember these four things I'm fixing to give you.
We recommend to interrogate your thoughts before they're released. You know, when you're speaking with somebody and you're saying something, you don't know whether it's the truth or a lie. Somebody have told you. The first thing out of your mouth, these are some four things that you ask. Is it true? What? They did what? Where did you get that from? The second one. Is it confidential? Is it confidential? Why are you telling me? That person have lost trust of you. Is it kind? You mean you're going around telling that on your sister and your brother? Is it necessary? Ask yourself those four things today. Is it true? Is it confidential? Is it kind? Is it necessary? I want you to think of the person or place that habitually tempt you to use your tongue in the way you confessed earlier. Got it? Now, what's the first thing you can do to break this cycle so that you're not a repeat offender? No, it doesn't have anything to do with the things I asked you just a while ago. Not yet. Think back to what Solomon said in Proverbs 22, 24. And I'm going to go back to Proverbs 22 and 24 in case you forgot. Let me turn right over there real swiftly. Proverbs 22 and 24 and 25 said, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare of thy soul. You know, then you can read 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Now, after you read that, now apply what you've just read to your situation that you're in right now. Do you need to stop associating with someone who's a bad influence? Is there a particular place you should avoid going? That's the first step to consider. But let's say you can't avoid a particular person or place. Maybe it's someone you work beside or carpool with or live next to. Now what? Now the question comes to your mind. Now you've got to consciously, carefully begin to control the flow of your words by testing them first to see whether they are true, confidential, kind, or necessary. Today, are you willing to put forth that effort? I think you will be amazed how much these questions can help and how quickly set aside a few minutes to take this matter before the Lord. Ask him for a sensitivity to know when to apply these criteria and how. Keep track of the things you know you said that you said, oh, I'll put my foot in my mouth. Oh, I should not have said that. And sometimes you'll be talking to somebody, and they probably don't even remember the conversation. And you'll say, well, I'll never forget it. You know, it was years ago, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you bring up something years ago. Did you hear about it? That person said, well, no, I sure didn't. But, you know, about the only thing that was true in that embarrassing moment was my own hypocrite. I haven't been the least bit concerned with the accuracy of the story or really the person it was about. Gossip, guilty, slander. When you think about that and you say, I haven't forgotten the lessons you taught me. You told me on that broadcast one day. It has kept me from falling into the trap of gossiping about others countless times, it could do the same for you. If you would ask yourself that same unflinchable question to yourself today, you attempted to talk about someone else, how do you know that's true? You can't go by everything you hear. You can't go by everything you see sometimes, because sometimes you can see something and it don't mean what you may say it was. It don't mean really that's what it was. So today, I hope someone who's listening in, I know this is not a shouting message. I know this wasn't a message nobody was going to call in and talk about this little red membrane in your mouth, the poison in your mouth. This little red membrane have killed and hurt so many family, so many relationships, so many people, neighbors, children, and all. We have to watch the words that we speak. We have to think about the use of our tongue. We have to stop slandering people, tale-bearing to others, gossiping about others. Deceitful, you know, being deceitful, flattering, strife, argumentative, angry words. If we can't say something good, you all, about somebody, don't say nothing. When somebody go to running somebody down, say, baby, I'll talk with you later. Oh, baby, I'm doing something. If they're on the telephone, because all it needs is to say, what? When that happened, is that true? How you know? You know, it's different cliche words and words that's in the Bible, words that's in the dictionary also, that we find to bring up in these conversations about our sisters and brothers, not just in Christ. But if you can't help that man or that woman homeless on the road, don't talk about them. If you can't feed your neighbor or give them a slice of bread or help their children, don't talk about it. Pray about it. Let God know. He already know your heart. Say, God, I'm not in a position right now financially to help that person, but I refuse to go down the street and talk about my neighbor and my sister to somebody else. God, I ask you to step in and take care of my sister and brother. And when someone tell you something in confidence, keep it in confidence. Jesus know, they know, and you know. You don't have to spread it malicious on the phone, put it in the newspaper, send it from one place to the other, because by the time it get back to that person that you really told it to, that really told you something, it's been said so many different ways, it's been misconstrued so many different times, that when they hear it, they're standing up, they're bewildered. They said, what? Who said what? You know, I'm just saying how you do. So from now on, watch that little membrane, that red membrane that's in your mouth. Because it will cause a lot of friction, a lot of problems. It will hurt hearts, hurt families, hurt friendships, hurt relationships. We have to be so careful with that tongue. I want to thank everyone that's listened to the program today. I want to thank all the people that came on the air today, those that didn't even say anything. I thank you today. And may God richly bless each and every one of you all. And as my little saying is, if I had the tentacles of an octopus, I would hug each and every one of you. I love you. And remember, that little red membrane in your mouth is poison. If it's not used in the right way, it can be poison to someone else and to your very soul. So today, remember, before you speak, speak the word only from the word of God. And if you feel within yourself you're going to say something wrong, don't open your mouth, count to 10, 50, or whatever. So one day when you go before God, that won't be brought up as a charge against you. You know, so until next week, I want all of my listeners to be blessed. I love each and every one of you all. And if this program today, this topic fit you, just change. Just ask God for forgiveness. And come back next week. We have another exciting topic. We love you, and we want all for you. We all have made mistakes. We all have went through that. But once we learn, we can tell others from the experience that we have learned how they, too, can be free. And until next week, be blessed.